I'm Daisy Contreras for Illinois Issues. In March, President Donald Trump signed an executive order to undo the Clean Power Plan. The move frustrated Illinois environmental activists who want to see renewable energy replace coal. But they might still get their wish, plan or no plan. Jake J. Smith reports for this week's Illinois Issues in-depth piece.
For Dulce Ortiz, the Clean Power Plan was a long-awaited victory. Ortiz and fellow activists had spent years trying to get rid of the coal-fired power plant in their hometown of Waukegan, Illinois. They pled with the energy company, with the mayor, and with Illinois energy regulators. But the plant was still there, burning coal. Then, in August of 2015, the Obama administration unveiled the Clean Power Plan, which promised to phase out coal-fired power plants like the one in Waukegan.
Well, we thought it was finally going to happen, but the excitement didn't last that long.
That's because 6 months later, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a stay on the Clean Power Plan, halting enforcement across the country. A year after that, President Trump would sign an executive order initiating a review of the entire plan. These setbacks to the Clean Power Plan have left many wondering about the fate of energy and emissions in Illinois. However, the state still appears to be on track to meet or exceed the emissions reduction goals assigned to it under the plan. Meanwhile, a new state law is expected to bolster the transition to cleaner energy. The Waukegan Generating Station, owned by NRG Energy, sits on the Lake Michigan shoreline, burning coal just 1 mile from Ortiz's home. But she and fellow activists had high hopes that the Clean Power Plan would soon change that. Finalized in October of 2015, the plan targeted greenhouse gas emissions that emanated from power plants, which account for about a third of U.S. emissions nationwide. Under the plan, the U.S. EPA would set carbon emissions targets for each state.
So each state would then have to come up with a plan that it would propose to U.S. EPA for how it would achieve those emission reductions inside of its state.
That's Mark Templeton. He's director of the Abrams Environmental Law Clinic at the University of Chicago. Under the Clean Power Plan, Illinois was required to reduce power plant emissions by about 31% by the year 2030. The EPA deemed this goal one of the least stringent compared to other states. When the rule was announced, organizers in Waukegan held a party at the lakefront. They served cake to mark the occasion. But not everybody was celebrating. Later that fall, a coalition of 26 states, led by West Virginia, filed petitions challenging the plan in the D.C. Circuit Court. These states claimed that the EPA's authority to regulate emissions did not apply to existing power plants. In early 2016, they asked the Circuit Court and then the U.S. Supreme Court to halt the Clean Power Plan until the litigation was complete. The Supreme Court agreed, and the rule was stopped in its tracks.
I think the Supreme Court was sending a signal that it had very significant concerns.
The plan was still stalled over a year later, on March 28, 2017. That's the day President Trump signed an executive order calling for the plan to be reevaluated.
Perhaps no single regulation threatens our miners, energy workers, and companies more than this crushing attack on American industry.
Days later, EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt sent letters to the governors of several states, including Illinois. Pruitt informed the governors that they would not be expected to comply with the Clean Power Plan. As Pruitt wrote, "The days of coercive federalism are over." However, the views of Trump and Pruitt contrast sharply with the views of those in the Illinois energy sector.
The Clean Power Plan wasn't a cataclysmic event for the industry because most of the industry was already going that way.
That's James Monk, president of the Illinois Energy Association. They represent the major utilities and power suppliers across the state. Monk says that economic pressures are hurting coal power's prospects more than the Clean Power Plan would have. Things like the low price of natural gas, growing consumer demand for clean energy, and pollution regulations have simply hurt the bottom line for coal plants. NRG Energy, which owns the coal-fired plant in Waukegan, acknowledges that coal is on the decline. Spokesman David Geyer says that in the last 2 years, the company has converted three of its coal-fired plants, including one in Joliet, to natural gas.
It was a good move economically for energy and energy shareholders, and it was good for the environment. So it was a win-win.
Last year, the nonprofit Environmental Law and Policy Center did some calculations. They wanted to know how much emissions had been reduced from coal-fired power plants either shutting down or announcing they would switch to natural gas. Here's the center's executive director, Howard Lerner, sharing what they found.
Within Illinois, we've achieved about 80% of the carbon pollution reductions that would be required by 2030 under the Clean Power Plan. We've already got there.
NRG spokesman Geyer predicts that within the next 25 years, coal plants across the country will be completely gone. But for some, that rate of progress is not fast enough.
We're gonna beat back the Trump attack!
We're gonna beat back
the Trump attack!
Well, all right!
On a cold and rainy April morning, hundreds of Illinois residents gathered in downtown Chicago for the People's Climate March. Among them was Dulce Ortiz. She and fellow activists were there expressing frustration at President Trump's hardline stance against the Clean Power Plan. However, the rule had already been stayed for more than a year before his executive order, and most clean energy advocates had long ago turned their energy elsewhere. Here's Ortiz again.
We couldn't just rely on the federal level. We had to do something on the local level, and that's how we started getting involved for the Future Energy Jobs Act.
The Future Energy Jobs Act was signed by Governor Rauner in December, following months of negotiation. The act requires the state's electricity suppliers to reduce energy consumption significantly over the next decade, and it closes a loophole in an existing law requiring that 25% of power statewide come from renewable energy by the year 2030. But the bill's most controversial provision is its zero-emission credits. These will grant more than $200 million per year to Exelon for the two nuclear power plants it operates in Illinois. Environmental justice advocates have taken issue with this provision. They argue that while nuclear energy does not emit carbon dioxide, it should not be deemed clean on account of the toxic waste it produces. But Dulce Ortiz says the zero-emission credits were presented to her as an ultimatum. Either subsidize nuclear energy, or coal-fired power plants will continue unchecked.
And it was a very difficult decision. It was, I can honestly say I couldn't sleep for a couple of days because you don't want to make that choice, right? The lesser of two evils, they're both evil.
In the end, though, Ortiz fully endorsed the Future Energy Jobs Act, nuclear subsidies and all. She thinks the act will help speed up the closing of coal plants across the state. For Ortiz, transitioning the Waukegan plant away from coal remains a central goal, and one that she, once again, believes is within reach.
I'm very optimistic because, you know, coal's not profitable anymore.
For NPR Illinois, I'm Jake J. Smith.
I'm Daisy Contreras for Illinois Issues. That was Jake J. Smith reporting. For more information, go to illinoisissues.org.